The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
2:34, I get a notification to get on the call with the United States Pentagon. I have to sell my request for the National Guard. I'm on the call with a Lieutenant General Piatt, trying to make sure I have his name pronounced right, and a General Flynn is on the call. And it's mainly Piatt that I'm speaking with. I get on the call, Mayor Bowser is on the call, Chief Conti's on the call. And I said, well, I need the National Guard immediately. This is an urgent, urgent situation. I still remember saying urgent twice. This is urgent, urgent. They got to be looking at the same TVs I'm looking at. I need the National Guard immediately. You know what his response is? Don't like the optics of the National Guard on Capitol Hill. Like, he goes, I would rather have your officers in the fight and we can backfill your officers somewhere else. I said, I don't have that option. All my officers are in the fight. He goes, I'm telling you, I don't like the option of the National Guard. You know, I don't like the optics of the National Guard on the Hill. I said, sir, we're having our asses handed to us. This is life or death. I need assistance immediately. And I still remember, he said, you know, my recommendation is not to support the request. And I still remember Robert Conti going, whoa, whoa, hold on. You're denying the chief of the Capitol Police? And he comes back and says, not that we're denying him. I just don't like the optics of the National Guard on Capitol Hill. And he goes, I'd rather backfill your people. I said, sir, I don't have that option.
This sounds like a setup to me. I'm sorry, it does.
There's Tucker's latest interview with the former Capitol Hill police chief. Now, he presided over the Capitol Hill police on January 6th. They denied him intelligence, Pelosi's people, local authorities, the Pentagon. They denied him intelligence in the lead up to January 6th. And then, while it was happening, while the protest went awry, he was requesting backup from the National Guard, and they wouldn't give it to him. As he said there, the optics wouldn't be good. And Tucker, in his response, says, it sounds to me like a setup, and of course, it was. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on this final show of a very busy week. Supposed to be. These are the dog days of summer. People are off on vacation in the month of August. It's generally a news cycle that's a little bit dull and boring. Not so this August. It seems like every day I usually try to whittle down my news notes to about 6-7 pages. Every day this week it's been about 10 pages. It makes your head spin, everything that's happening. We'll try to burn our way through it as much as we can on today's show. As I said, this is the Trumpet Daily. You can get to the live video stream of this show at trumpetdaily.com. You can also see the shows after the fact as they pile up on the timeline. And then over at our Rumble channel, just search for the Trumpet Daily and you can watch the Rumble channel with a live, our Rumble channel with a live audience. Join in on the chat. Make sure that you give us a thumbs up on Rumble and that you share the video as well. Of course, as I've mentioned most of this week, we're also rebroadcast at the evening time on Live from America TV. That's LFA TV every weekday evening at 8 p.m. here in the Central Time Zone and 9 p.m. on the East Coast. If you'd like to leave us some feedback, the email address is td@thetrumpet.com. Again, a little bit of housekeeping here to begin with. We've got the engagement with General Flynn now just a little over a week away. That's Monday evening at 6 p.m., August 21st in Armstrong Auditorium. You can go to our website, thetrumpet.com, and get right to the website that allows for you to reserve tickets for that engagement. General Flynn was nice enough to share one of our tweets yesterday promoting the event. So that went to all of his followers. And of course, together with this event, we're also promoting Celtic Throne, the encore performance. That's the Sunday afternoon before the Flynn engagement. And I should mention, I don't think I've mentioned that this week, but on that same day, we're scheduled to have a sit-down interview with General Flynn right here on this program. So that'll be Monday morning here in the Central Time Zone, 11 a.m., Monday morning, August 21st. And then, of course, Monday evening at 6 p.m., you've got the engagement, the speaking engagement at Armstrong Auditorium. So lots of goodies to feed on these next 9 or 10 days. So, as I say, Stephen Sund, he's the one that Tucker's interviewing there. He was the Capitol Hill police chief. So he was in the know. And yet, as he explained to Tucker, I mean, for much of that day and even in the lead up to it, he was in the dark. He was in the dark. It's as if, it's almost as if Pelosi and people wanted this to happen. It's almost as if Mark Milley and all the others, the radical leftists, that they wanted something to happen, something where they could frame the MAGA supporters. Listen again to this exchange on Tucker's latest segment, clip one.
We're only 10 minutes into this, and you've told me two things. One, the other federal agencies withheld critical information from you in charge of security at the Capitol before January 6th. And once it started and things got out of control, for 71 minutes, Pelosi refused to allow you to bring in the National Guard. So those are two of the biggest questions from January 6th. And my question is, why don't we have answers to why that happened?
It doesn't seem like people really want to get to the bottom of it. It really doesn't. And it just gets worse.
They don't want to get to the bottom of it. And you know what proves exactly that? Even with the January 6th committee going on for, I guess, nearly a year, and all of their bluster, we're going to get to the bottom of this. You know, in the course of that investigation, they never did interview this guy once. Stephen Sund. He was the chief. He was the chief of police at the Capitol. And Kinzinger and Cheney and all the rest, I guess they didn't want to talk to him. Why? Why wouldn't they want to talk to the police chief of all people? Well, as it is, they all but forced him to resign the next day. I guess he had to, under intense pressure. January 7th, he's out the door. They want to try to blame him for everything. And here he is saying that for 71 minutes, if this was a civil war, or worse than the civil war, or at least worse than Pearl Harbor or 9/11, why wouldn't Pelosi and all the rest say, yes, take whatever you need. Let's suppress this rebellion. They're trying to take over the government. If it was that serious, I mean, it exposes all their lies, doesn't it? The fact that they denied him backup. They wouldn't send anyone in. They just wanted it to play out. And they knew they had the regime media working alongside them to stir it up as if it's worse than Pearl Harbor. I didn't bring the latest stats. I think as many as 1,100 people from that protest have been prosecuted. I mean, and we know this because the DOJ, they brag about it. They brag about all the arrests. And now they're going after Donald Trump for inciting the riot, except that the indictment says he didn't incite the riot, or they don't get into it. They dance around it because they know they don't have the evidence. Why wouldn't the committee say, you know, look, in the interest of being unbiased, we know that Sund might have a little bit of a different take, but look, we want to gather all the information. As it is, I'll get to this in a moment, the committee is destroying all of the evidence that they looked through. As I told you earlier this week, they just carefully framed the story the way that they wanted it. And then now that the Republicans have a majority in the House, they've conveniently enough deleted it, just like Hillary did with all those emails. Taking a hammer to the iPhones, bleach bitting the hard drives. You talk about obstruction of justice. How can you get justice when you have people that can just get away with this sort of behavior? So Sund was the fall guy. Of all that happened on January 6th, the only one that was really even punished, besides all the MAGA supporters, is Stephen Sund. It's from NBC at the time. U.S. Capitol Police Chief Stephen Sund is resigning amid criticism of the department's response to rioters who stormed the Capitol in protest of Donald Trump's election loss. They stormed the Capitol. Doesn't say anything about all. Of course, at this point, NBC may not have known. But if they were reporting on it today, it would be much the same. All the federal agents that were embedded in the group. Sun's resignation will go into effect on January 16th, just a few days shy of President-elect Joe Biden's inauguration. The announcement comes shortly after the head of the department's union called for a change at the top. So Sun, he takes the hit. Everyone else is unscathed. They wanted an event. They wanted it because how else could you get AOC's theatrics on that day? I was almost killed. They almost murdered me. There had to be an incident for them to hype it up, as only the regime media can. This was from earlier this week from the National Pulse. It says former Capitol Police Chief Stephen Sun told then Fox News host Tucker Carlson that events surrounding the January 6 riots at the U.S. Capitol appear to have been a cover-up. You can see why they wouldn't want him to be interviewed before the committee. You can see why they wouldn't want him to be interviewed or to testify before the January 6 committee, because he would have got up there and said, something's not right here. Something's being covered up. Somebody doesn't want you to get to the truth of what actually happened. It says everything appears to be, this is what he evidently told Tucker in an interview from way back before Tucker left Fox News. And Fox News, the executives there, you know what? They decided, let's not play that interview. Let's hold that back. So Tucker's got to, and now that he's been fired, Tucker's got to go and interview the guy again. Everything appears to be a cover-up, says the decorated police chief, explaining that most things to do with his department were political, specifically because he reported to politicians, including the then Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. Like I said, it quotes him, like I said, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but when you look at the information and intelligence they had and that the military had, it's all watered down. I'm not getting intelligence. I'm denied any support from National Guard in advance. I'm denied National Guard while we're under attack for 71 minutes. And of course, you know that Donald Trump himself wanted support from the National Guard in advance. Sund admits that he was denied all those things, including even intelligence in the lead up to it. Well, you talk about some corrupt communist agents in our midst. To set this up, and then the people that just go along, like the execs at Fox News, National Poll says, the full interview has thus far been hidden from the public at the behest of Rupert Murdoch's increasingly left-wing Fox News channel. Fox News says, you know what? Let's just cover this up. Thanks, Fox News. Are they really trying to get to the truth of what happened on January 6th? Tucker was the only one. That he produced that documentary series for Fox Nation. Further on, it says here, well, Carlson first asked, it sounds like they were hiding the intelligence, Carlson quizzed, to which Sund stunningly responds, could there possibly be actually, they kind of wanted something to happen? Could it be? Could it be possible that they actually wanted something to happen? It's not a far stretch to begin to think that. I mean, how else do you explain the mystery men like Ray Epps out there saying, we need to go inside, and then 1,100 of those protesters get prosecuted, but not Ray Epps? Listen to clip two.
I just want to pause on this for a minute. That's like, it's almost unbelievable. So this is an event that Pelosi herself has likened to Pearl Harbor and 9/11, you know, the worst thing that's ever happened on American soil, and she's in charge of allowing the National Guard to come in and respond, but she doesn't for 71 minutes. What is that?
You know, I can't fathom why. I mean, they had to have known what was going on. I was telling them how bad it was.
It was on TV.
It was on TV. It was right outside of Mike Stinger's office. And they had a meeting in his office saying, hey, where's the National Guard? And they're like, oh, we're trying to make... The fighting's going on right outside his office. And I'm still getting delayed.
This is an unbelievable story.
It's an unbelievable cover-up. Is what it is. Pelosi withheld that. I mean, you talk about a bombshell revelation. Pelosi withheld any support from the National Guard for 71 minutes. I mean, how long did the protests go on? I know Congress was only delayed by like 4 hours, but what was it, about 2 hours worth of unruly activity around the Capitol, where the only people that got shot dead were Ashley Babbitt and others that were stomped on or that had a heart condition or something from the Trump supporters? No police were gunned down. None of them. I mean, there was some violence and vandalism for sure, but people won't even look into that in any depth to see the Antifa elements, to see the Fed agents. Why would Fed agents be embedded into the worst thing to happen to the United States since Pearl Harbor? The answer is there's a lot of powerful people in the swamp that wanted it to happen so that they could frame Donald Trump, so that they could frame, look, he's being indicted for it even as we speak. Listen again to Tucker from last night. This is clip 4.
Do you know when the National Guard finally arrived? 6 p.m. 6 p.m. they're sworn in on post. Do you know those National Guard, the 150 to 180 that are within eyesight of the Capitol? You know what they do with them? They put them in vehicles, drive them around the Capitol back to the D.C. Armory. You know where the D.C. Armory is.
It's far away, yeah.
Washington, yes. White House is on one side, United States Capitol, D.C. Armory almost equidistant
near
on the other
RFK
side.
RFK Stadium.
Yeah, over by RFK Stadium. They drive them back then, and they send me in the evening troops.
Not real.
Can you freaking believe it? No, that's real. That's real. And you know what else they do? While I'm begging for assistance, the Pentagon sent in resources to generals' houses to protect their homes, but not me. So you begin to think, it seems a little conspiratorial. I can see where somebody, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I can see where people begin to go down that rabbit hole real quick.
That rabbit hole? I mean, I don't know what the other conclusion is. Because, look, under pressure, people make mistakes and make bad decisions. But you're describing a systematic denial of intelligence and then of support, defense, through a whole bunch of different agencies, a whole bunch of different people, all reaching the same baffling conclusion that we're not going to protect the Capitol.
Right. Multiple agencies with people with extensive experience, and you're getting this type of response. You know, and when you look at the level of intelligence, it's baffling that nobody put anything out ahead of time.
Maybe it's not baffling. I mean, remember, this was the end of the Trump administration. You know, a month, almost 2 months, 2 months into a contested election. This is a politically charged moment with ramifications that we're now living through. But there's a lot at stake here. This is not just your average protest, correct?
Correct.
No wonder they forced him to resign. And then the January 6th committee didn't want to have anything to do with him. Don't even call him to testify. And you know, the other angle to this too, as to why they want, besides wanting to frame Trump and his supporters, they also wanted to cover up what was actually going to happen in Congress on January 6th. You had Congress people and senators lining up to present evidence of fraud in the 2020 election. Of course, did having an incident, a protest gone awry, does that benefit Donald Trump or does it benefit the communists that want to cover up the election fraud? Just think about it for a moment. Of course, there were a lot of powerful people that wanted there to be a riot at the Capitol on January 6th because they didn't want people listening to Ted Cruz or Josh Hawley or Jim Jordan about all the fraud, about all of the irregularities, about all of the affidavits, about all of the video footage showing these ballot drops at 3 a.m. Listen again. This is clip 6.
We've had many entities doing investigations. Yeah. I believe we impaneled this committee or commission, this body of members of Congress that went on for about a year and was on the news every single night. Did they address any of these questions?
No, sir.
How could you have a January 6th commission whose job it is to figure out what happened on January 6th, not get to the bottom of like why the head of intelligence at Capitol Police didn't pass on the intelligence, why the chief of Capitol Police was kept in the dark and denied support from the U.S. military, why Yogananda Pittman wound up after failing on January 6th, getting a high paying job right across Nancy Pelosi's district? Like, who wouldn't ask these questions?
Tucker, you got to give him credit. He's informed. Of course, he produced that documentary, as I say. Here's the chief, kept in the dark, offered no support or help the day of, and then forced to resign the day after. And then not even asked to testify during the year-long so-called investigation by the January 6th committee. This is from our book, America Under Attack. If you don't have this, make sure that you call our operators today and request one. The 800 number, if you live in the U.S., Canada, or the Caribbean, it's 1-866-930-3776. 3024, a couple quotes from that book. It says, Donald Trump had nothing to gain and everything to lose by the violent assault on the Capitol that day, Frank Mealy wrote for Real Clear Politics. The only chance of keeping Trump in the White House was not by invading the Capitol, but by keeping it secure while our representatives debated the validity of the election using the entirely constitutional process taking place inside the halls of Congress. And then my father says, that is a critical truth. Donald Trump had nothing at all to gain from an assault on the Capitol that day. And in fact, that's why he said, let's go offer our civil servants our encouragement for them to expose the fraud that happened during the election. And let's do it peacefully. Let's protest peacefully. That's what he said at the Ellipse. It's on tape. No wonder Jack Smith didn't put it into his indictment, because he knows he would have no leg to stand on. Listen again, a couple more clips. This is number 7.
How long did it take you to realize there's something very strange going on here?
I knew there was something strange going on pretty soon. When I was running into the issues with them not wanting me to testify, I was like, this starts getting a little weird. And then when I started sitting down and talking to officers and getting information, then finding out from some of the intelligence that was out there and where it was, and seeing some of the emails of the intelligence analysts pushing it up to their officials, I knew something was fishy. I mean, think about it. How can somebody not look at all this and think something's odd?
How can you not look at this? Or how can you look at this and not think it's a little bit fishy, that there's some sort of, as he said earlier, some sort of conspiratorial plot playing out here, and then they don't call him before the committee, as he brings out. Again, from America Under Attack, it says, Trump had nothing to gain from that violence, but the radical left had everything to gain. Look at how much they've milked this for 2.5 years. Pearl Harbor, 9/11, Civil War. The January 6th event ended everything for President Trump. Almost nobody stood up for him, for the Constitution, or for America. That's right. 14 days later, Trump just quietly left the White House and flew home. Went back to Mar-a-Lago. He had nothing to gain from some kind of violent insurrection. Okay, we'll just play along with the communist left. How does it benefit him? He left 2 weeks later. What he was hoping for, what he was calling for, was for Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley and company to expose the fraud and for Mike Pence to kick it back to the state legislatures. You may have seen that video clip from Mike Pence. He's maintained that Trump was trying to pressure him to do something unconstitutional. Well, he elaborated on that just offhandedly with a reporter. I should have brought the clip, but he said, you know, if I would have kicked it back and then it's turned over to the House some way, that would have just been chaotic. That wouldn't have been good for the country. I mean, it's an indirect way of admitting that he could have done that. He actually could have done that constitutionally. I mean, there's been cases in America's history where the House of Representatives did have to intervene and decide on the presidency because of fraud and corruption and so on. I mean, what are the safety valves in place? Do you just turn a blind eye to it like Bill Barr did to the Muskegon case in 2020 and move on? Well, I guess that's the new America. Just ignore fraud and then tell America that it was perfect. It says here, the cover-up, to cover up their stolen election and to certify their treasonous coup, the radicals had to commit more treason. And that's like I said earlier this week, going back to Lee Smith's article on the January 5, 2017 conspiracy that the dear leader Barack Obama unleashed on Donald Trump. The culmination of that insurrection was the election steal on November 3rd, 2020. And then, carrying on, like my father says, then to cover up the steal, they had to continue with their treasonous activity and set up the American people and set up the MAGA movement. It says here, that is why the January 6th protest included a ton of FBI informants and also radical leftists and even FBI agitators. They wanted to use that protest to cover their treason. This was very important to them. They had to cover up the fact that they're guilty of treason, that they're guilty of illegally ousting the legitimate president of the United States. One last clip from this interview, number five.
You know, luckily we still have people investigating this, because I still think there's puzzle pieces missing. Someone's going to find out what's really behind all this, because it wasn't right the way the intelligence was handled and way out we're set up on the Hill.
Big picture, just to restate, you've seen many things like this, and as you just said, this was very different. This was handled very differently. By whom?
By the intelligence. I'd say one, by the intelligence agency. Two, by the military.
Intelligence and military. The security state. Now, again, going back to things we've pointed out on this show many, many times, and that's pointed out in this book, America Under Attack, Barack Obama, the dear leader, he's the one that weaponized these agencies. He's the one that weaponized the military, even, or that at least made the military go woke. That removed all of the strong leaders, to paraphrase what it says in Isaiah 3:1-2, and to replace them with weakness, to replace them with radicals, to replace them with leaders that are more concerned about woke policy than they are defending the United States of America. I think that clip there certainly implies, I mean, they're not going to state it outright, not like we would in AUA, but it implies that it was Barack Obama behind the scenes orchestrating all of this. You can blame Pelosi. I mean, all the communists blame Sund. And we could talk here about Pelosi or Milley or whoever, the intelligence officer over the Capitol, I forget his name. But in fact, it's Barack Obama. My father writes, radicals stole the 2020 election, then instigated the uglier aspects of January 6th, then overreacted to that protest to discredit it and to block all opposition to certifying the stolen election. That's big picture. Tucker asked him there about big picture. He mentioned the intel and the military. That's the big picture of what happened and why it happened. And to continue with these treasonous actions to cover up their steal, well, then look at the January 6th committee. As I say, they wouldn't even call Sund to testify. And then now the House has a Republican majority. Now they've indicted Trump. Trump's attorneys are going after, you know, the discovery, all the evidence that the January 6th committee evidently went through for nearly a year. And the Jan 6th committee says, yeah, we didn't keep that. We didn't keep all those documents. This is from American Greatness. The House Select January 6th committee allegedly failed to preserve records, including its communications with the Biden White House, foiling Republican efforts to investigate the committee's work. Why, oh why, would they want to foil the Republicans' efforts to investigate? Because they're covering their tracks. Because they don't want to get exposed for creating a false narrative and then leaving out exculpatory evidence. Says Representative Barry Loudermilk, a Republican from Georgia, chairman of the Subcommittee on Oversight for the Committee of House Administration, told Fox News that the now defunct January 6th committee also failed to provide any evidence that it looked into Capitol Hill's security failures on the day of the riot. They just skipped over that part. Loudermilk told Fox that he's having trouble gathering the information he needs to examine the committee's work because key January 6th committee documents, data, and video depositions are missing. They just went missing. Kind of like Hillary's server and those 33,000 emails. Unbelievable. The level of corruption. I mean, who would have ever thought that, for one, you've got the lawmakers and then you've got the law enforcement officials. And they all see themselves as above the law, the criminals. Listen to Jesse Waters. This is from a couple nights ago, number 12.
The January 6th committee has just been caught cold, orchestrating a massive illegal cover-up. Trump is headed for trial next year for January 6th related charges, and he's going to have subpoena power, which gives him the right to access critical documents and videos pertaining to the time period. That means the January 6th committee, whose two-year investigation produced thousands and thousands of documents, transcripts, and hours of deposition videos, the good, the bad, and the ugly, will be legally required to turn over whatever materials Trump requests. Yesterday, we uncovered the January 6th committee has destroyed almost 50% of their evidence. The Democrat-run January 6th committee is missing 1.5 terabytes of data. This is an enormous amount of material. Records of the Capitol Hill security failures, video of Trump cabinet depositions, emails, text messages, gone. And who knows what else they deleted. Remember, the January 6th committee only aired and only reported what Democrats wanted you to know about January 6th. Anything they didn't want you to know about the 6th wasn't made public, and it looks like it was destroyed. We might never get to the bottom of January 6th because the January 6th committee destroyed their evidence. This has never happened before in Congress.
Never happened before in Congress. I mean, it's so bad that when Trump gets back, I mean, he could actually go after some of these Congress people for obstruction. Listen, they're trying to get Donald Trump for moving boxes around, if you can believe it. Boxes that were in a secure location, boxes that he had the right to have as a former president. Quite unlike Joe Biden, who is the former president, as Trump repeatedly says, he's got 1,800 boxes of classified documents. They're strewn all over the country. That's no big deal. What happens when your law enforcement agencies go rogue? I mean, how long can a country survive when that happens? When law enforcement turns into a kind of Gestapo? Look at this incident that happened in Provo, Utah. You've probably heard about it. This elderly man, 74, 75, conflicting reports, I guess, on his age. He's in his mid-70s. He's virtually crippled. He can hardly get around. He goes outside of his house once in a while to go to church. He's wildly outspoken. He's printed these inflammatory statements on his social media pages that nobody reads, saying he fantasizes or dreams about killing Joe Biden or killing this person or that person. There's like a million of those types. But here's this guy, and the FBI, they've been tracking him, I guess, since March. Then they decide to raid his house. It's a pre-dawn raid in Provo. He's there in his house alone, and they just shoot him dead. This is the footage on Jack Posobiec's Twitter feed, clip 11. There you hear a shot at the end, but there's also this little explosion outside the house, which is mysterious. Lots of people asking questions. So what happened? And of course, the FBI maintaining, well, he had a gun. He wouldn't drop his gun. Now, he did own a lot of guns, and he was, I think, in a lot of ways, a crazy man. But do you send a SWAT team of FBI agents, 20 or 30 agents? Why not just, they actually confronted him a couple months back outside of his home as he was coming back from church. Why not just arrest him in the broad of daylight? Instead, they go at 6:15 in the morning, freak the guy out, and then shoot him dead. They drag his body outside on the sidewalk where it just bleeds all over the road. This is a neighborhood in Provo. It's not exactly a hotbed for terrorist activity or domestic terrorism or any extremism for that matter. The neighbors are just appalled. That woman right there that filmed from across the street, she shrieked in the end of that video. You couldn't quite hear everything. But here he is. He's a 300-pound handicapped man, an elderly man, spewing out hatred on Truth Social. Truth Social, by the way, turned him in. And at last I checked, Donald Trump controls that. Donald Trump is the owner. And there's people on MSNBC Andy McCabe, of all people, and others, Joe Scarborough, they're actually blaming the man's death, not on the FBI, not on excessive force. They're blaming it on Trump. Well, because he was a Trump supporter. And he was putting a Facebook post that two people saw saying that he fantasizes about killing Biden and that he wants to assassinate Biden. How many people said that during Trump's 4 years? I can't remember one pre-dawn raid, let alone shooting someone dead for saying they wanted to kill Trump. You had people nonstop saying they wanted to behead Trump. They wanted to blow up the White House. Celebrities even. They get a complete pass, don't they? But not this man. You got to shoot him dead and then drag his big body out into the street so that everyone sees. Don't you dare threaten Joe Bama. Because here comes law enforcement. No wonder no one trusts the FBI anymore. People are afraid of the FBI. I will give Joe Scarborough some credit on how that he says the Republicans or the conservatives used to be, you know, very much pro-FBI, those law agencies in the nation's capital. And now it's completely flip-flopped. I mean, you have got Scarborough and company. They will defend the FBI no matter what happens through Twitter files or this incident right here. They just blame Trump. Well, of course you should. There was a clip today, actually, where they went. This is on Morning Joe. It's later on in my notes. It's the one with Donnie Deutsch, where they were lamenting the fact that if Trump gets back in there, that's it. It's over. And Morning Joe is going to be canceled. Listen to this lunacy, if you guys can find it.
The Republican, the establishment Republicans, do you not understand that if Donald Trump wins, nothing else matters because it's over? Morning Joe might act, just to take a little example, Morning Joe might not exist anymore because Donald Trump has said, as all autocrats say, what they will do. And he said, if I'm elected, I want the FCC reporting directly into me. And he will cancel the show. I mean, you need to think that, that extreme. It's over. Freedom is over if Donald Trump gets elected. It's that simple.
The movement that censored and blotted out Donald Trump's access to social media. Here they are talking about what ifs. And once again, if Donald Trump returns, hey, our show is going to be canceled. He wants to have more control over the FCC, says this guy. It's just bizarre. It's perverse. It's upside down. It's an attack. Glenn Beck, the commentator, he said about this shooting in Provo, I'm seeing the government do things I've never seen in my 40-plus years of broadcasting. People have mailed credible threats to presidents for years. They've rightly been investigated for it, but I've never seen the FBI gun anybody down for it, ever. This is not normal. Like I say, why not get him when he's outside in the light of day? If he's got 20 guns in the house, well, don't wake him up at 6:15 and then bash the door in and then shoot him dead in his living room. And then the media, the regime media, just rush to their defense, the FBI's defense. The FBI can do no wrong. I guess we're supposed to just accept this as normal now. Here again, in America Under Attack, it says, Barack Obama has used this partnership to weaponize America's intelligence services. He successfully took a system created to surveil and neutralize the nation's external enemies and deployed it instead against his political enemies within America. It says here, Obama effectively created a new bureaucratic monster out of the Department of Homeland Security, the Department of Justice, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, a fourth branch of government full of unelected deep state bureaucrats who are loyal to him, his ideology, and his goals. The people heading up these alphabet agencies are loyal to the dear leader, his ideology, his goals, pure and simple. That's what this book is about, America Under Attack. The 800 number again, 1-866-930-3024. And keep in mind, you can get to all of our material, our literature, at our website, thetrumpet.com. Just go to the website and look for the literature tab. And you can download a copy of America Under Attack if you'd like to start reading this weekend. If not, as I say, call the operators or send us an email, td@thetrumpet.com, and we'll ship out a free book. There's no cost, no obligation. We want as many people to read this as possible. It says here, this undemocratic fourth branch of government is out of control. As I say, I mean, none of this is meant to defend this senior citizen's behavior. It sounds like he was unhinged, but he was also utterly incapable of going from Provo up to Salt Lake and to get a rifle to gun. I guess Joe Biden is going to go to Salt Lake at some point and he's going to assassinate him because of what he said on Facebook, a post that no one read. Okay, investigate the guy. That's what the Truth Social people suggested. That's why they turned over the information. Hey, we've got a nut that's posting some crazy messages. But then they go and they gun him down. And we know all about his posts. Of course, they're out there within seconds. If it's a transgender going into a Nashville school shooting up the place, then the social media, the thought police at social media, they'll blot out the posts to make sure that you can't know anything about their deranged, perverse, and violent lives. It's so sickening what's happened to law enforcement. I mean, there's some good people at the local level. It's like I said earlier this week. If you're going to get anything done to expose corruption, it almost has to be at the local level. But think about what the devil has done in the United States just since the days of Barack Obama. All of those talking heads in the regime media, you don't trust the police. You defund the police. You do everything that you can to handcuff the police, except for the Capitol Hill police and the FBI. They can just barge in and gun people down, I guess. What would happen? I mean, we've had cases of this where, you know, a police officer at the local level in St. Louis or wherever, he's actually being attacked and he pulls his gun and shoots in self-defense and it becomes a national debate. And they go after the police officer, but not in this case. No, no. Joe Scarborough's got to defend the FBI at all cost, and no matter what's been revealed, no matter what's been filmed from across the street, just barge in before sunrise and kill him. I mean, he could kill the president, so we got to kill him. It says here, the intelligence branch has full control over what is considered classified information. That's why this fourth branch has control over the three actual constitutional branches, executive, legislative, and judicial. It says here, when other branches ask for intelligence information, often the agencies will provide it with key parts redacted to hide what is really going on. See, there again. I mean, this is how they work. This is how the January 6th committee worked. Just redact it. Or in their case, just keep it out of the hearings. Don't invite Sun to testify. And then when it comes time to turn over everything that you uncovered, just destroy it. If you don't want Republicans or Donald Trump's lawyers to see it, because it will exonerate him, because there's exculpatory evidence in it, then just destroy it. Cover it up. It says they control without oversight. The only ones who see the whole picture are Barack Obama and his top men. This gives these people unparalleled control. And that's what they want. They just want to control everything. Control the flow of information. Control the law enforcement agencies. And when they can't do it at the local level, then attack them, defund them. But if you control the Capitol Hill police, if you control the FBI, if you control the IRS, I mean, those can become very powerful weapons to persecute your opponents, the political opposition. As I said earlier, I mean, what happens in a nation when law enforcement, when these branches of government go rogue? I mentioned the case in Muskegon and how that there was some progress being made at the local level. And then the state authorities got involved. I mean, the investigation got bigger. And then, of course, the FBI comes in. Oh, great. Reminds me of that scene of a movie from the 80s, I think it was, when the cops were corrupt. And then there's this shakedown going on over here, and the cops show up, and the guy's between these thugs and these corrupt cops. And he's like, oh, great, the police are here. Yeah, there's not really going to be a good outcome there, is there? When there's corruption on both sides. This is from Steve Bannon's show yesterday. There was someone in the White House that was familiar with what was happening in Muskegon back in September or October of 2020 in the lead up to the election. And again, like I covered earlier this week, all of these fraudulent registration forms that were just showing up, piles of them, signed by the same person, the same signature, no addresses to speak of, a lot of them going to the same address. Listen to this. This is a White House official. His name is Andrew Kloster, and he's with Steve Bannon yesterday on his show, Clip 10.
Tell me your story related to this situation that's come up the last couple of days of Gateway Pundit breaking this story on the situation in Michigan about these applications, voter registration applications in Michigan.
So this was right before the election 2020. I was in the White House. I was also at the Office of Personnel Management. So I was like the main personnel attorney government-wide and at work. And I got a call basically saying, look, I've got a spooked law enforcement senior guy, been there like 20 years, unimpeachable record out in Muskegon, Michigan, and he's got a story that we think is worth looking into. And that's exactly what Gateway Pundit's talking about. So I can confirm a lot of the details and give you some more. What happened was there was a woman, my understanding, is basically loitering outside of a Dropbox all day. And she gets picked up by a junior guy and arrested because he's like, what are you doing? You're stuffing this. What's going on? So they routinely, you know, they arrest her. And she basically spills the beans. She's a Democratic operative. She's got filled out ballots, like 7,000 is what I was hearing, and they arrested her. Now, the senior guy, my understanding, was off at the time. So the junior guy who picked her up, you know, got her statement and released her. And she went back to Detroit. Detroit doesn't give an extradition order. And the next thing you know, everyone clams up. And I'm hearing, well, Benson's leaning on people, threatening jobs. I try to raise a red flag. I do a little bit of light reaching out, not to disrupt anything, but just to kind of vet and make sure that I'm dealing with people who aren't lying and people who are credible. And then I try to reach out to different components within the Trump administration to say, hey, there's at least probable cause here. You know, well, I got to say, when I raised that issue in the administration, no one was very happy about it. There were basically, my understanding was, standing orders not to deal with election matters, both from the White House counsel and from Barr.
That would be Bill Barr. The White House counsel. This was when Trump was still in office, and his White House counsel, Bill Barr. Bill Barr, like I played for you the other day, he says proudly that I knew he was going to lose. I knew Trump was going to lose. He was so confident. During the summer of love, when Antifa and BLM were burning down cities, he was just so confident that people in America, they didn't want more of Trump. They wanted more of the BLM Antifa activities, I guess. They wanted more. They wanted to really rally behind the basement candidate that was justifying that destructive, abominable behavior all year long. Now, Trump didn't do everything perfectly, for sure. Just handing things over, basically, to Fauci and company. What a year. What a dreadful year that was, 2020. So much corruption and evil. But like I say, it was like the culmination of the insurrection that started before Trump even came into office. So obvious now. I mean, we're able to step away, years away from it, and you get some perspective. It's kind of hard to keep track of everything when you're right in the midst of it. But now step back. You've got Sun coming forward with this interview with Tucker. You've got January 6th destroying their documents. The devil's making some progress, but he's also being exposed, as we've noted so many times before on this show, even with the treasonous attack, even with the treasonous cover-up. Look at what's happened. Look at what's been exposed about the dear leader just in the last week, starting with that tablet interview, Samuels and Garrow. And again, My father, I've gotten some notes put together. I'll see if I can get to them next week. Going back to the very first edition of America Under Attack, 2013. But even before that, I mean, we were writing at thetrumpet.com and in our Trumpet magazine as early as 2008 and 9. As soon as Obama came on the scene and nobody was vetting him and they were all just swooning. I mean, you know, right then, if you know anything about the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians 2:2, you know that is not normal. It's like Glenn Beck says, the way the FBI is operating, this is not normal, what we're seeing. And what we saw, the way they reacted, you know, Chris Matthews, the tingling, he got up his leg because Obama was like God almost. That's really what, and you have commentators now, they wouldn't have been willing or courageous enough to say it in 2013, certainly not in 2008. But you've got commentators now, at least they're willing to say, that's a cult. This is idolatry. Obama can do no wrong, and Trump's to blame for everything, including the shooting in Provo. Trump's just minding his own business in Mar-a-Lago and having his Truth Social people tell the feds, look, there's a crazy man posting just craziness on Truth Social. You might want to know about it. And then as if right on cue, as soon as the FBI goes in and guns him down, well, blame Trump. Of course. This is from PJ Media. Who's the real Barack Obama? Things are finally becoming clearer. Well, it was pretty clear to us as soon as he came into office. But PJ Media, this is a conservative site. It's finally becoming clear. You'd think a guy who's penned 3 memoirs and is the subject of several authorized and unauthorized biographies would be an open book, but he isn't, as most sentient Americans know. But now we're learning more. You would think he'd be an open book. But now we're learning he's a fraud. He's a fake. He's not a patriot. He's a communist. He hung out with communists when he was younger. The Federalist. Obama's fraudulent legacy is being exposed, and it's on the wrong side of history. His fraudulent legacy, it says in this article, Barack Obama's crumbling public image is more Louis Farrakhan, less Martin Luther King. He's like Farrakhan. He's a racist. He's a black nationalist. He's a communist. He's all those things. Americans thought they were electing a guy who had tacitly, if not explicitly, said he would fulfill Martin Luther King's legacy. That's what Americans thought they were getting. But boy, were they wrong. Jack Cashel, an American thinker, to the surprise of many readers, the two reporters ventured into several journalistic no-go zones, talking about the Samuels Garrow report or interview, one of which being Obama's sexual orientation. We've got an article at the front page of the website right now, thetrumpet.com, that gets into that somewhat. Garrow speaks candidly about a letter in which the young Obama repeatedly fantasizes about making love to men. Didn't hear much of that in 2008, 2009. Now it's coming out. Of course, it was in Garrow's book 7 years ago. The regime, though, the regime media, they just ignore it. They blot it out. They delete it. It's not part of the evidence. It's not part of the narrative. And if someone comes asking about it, just destroy it. Well, I don't have time to get into too much of that now because we're about out of time, but maybe next week I can finish off with Jack Cashel's piece. He, by the way, I mean, he was exposing Obama and the fraud and the fact that he didn't write his memoir. He was exposing that early on, I believe, in Obama's first term. If not then, the second term, at least. Maybe, as I say, I can get into that more next week, as well as an interesting take that Sundance has over at Conservative Treehouse. But for now, I can't go forward because we're out of time. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the show, td@thetrumpet.com. Thank you for joining us on today's show. Hey, thank you for joining us all week, and we'll see you next time.